بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So far we have been discussing about the concept of self-purification, tazkiyatun nafs. And until now, we have described that the nafs, the self of the human being, is a connection that connects between the spirit or the soul of the human being and the desires of the human being. If the human being does not control his desires. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, has created in him. If he doesn't control these desires and starts following and chasing only his desires, then this individual, according to the Quran, has contaminated himself or himself or herself. This individual has forgotten himself or herself. He has forgotten that he is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has forgotten that he cannot even live a second without the mercy of Allah bestowed upon him or her. So this individual is now following or being guided and controlled by his evil, commanding self. Alternatively, an individual can follow the ruh or the soul and ascend higher and higher and higher in the ladder of spirituality and God's obedience and submission to the extent where his self merges with his soul, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then becomes the guidance for this individual. He guides him through his eyes, through his ears, through his hands and feet, as the hadith says, O my servant, or the servant continues growing or becoming closer to me until I love him. And when I love him, this is the hadith al-Qudsi. So Allah is saying this. And when I love him, then I become the eyes through which he sees, the ears through which he hears, the hands through which he works, and the feet through which he walks, and so on and so forth. And then a person can even ascend higher. And that is by becoming an individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, becomes angry for his anger, becomes happy for his happiness. And we looked at an example of Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Moses. When the Pharaoh angered Musa, God says that he's angered us. So the anger of Musa, Allah became angry for the anger of Musa alayhi salam. And we also said in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that Fatima is a part of me. Whomever angers her, angers me. And whomever angers me, angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, so such individuals like Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are of such status where they're even higher than being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every step of the way. But in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their submission to Allah, has chosen them to be his obedient servants on the earth, that he feels happy for their happiness and becomes angry for their anger. And these individuals who have their nafsul mutma'inna, their peaceful nafs, their peaceful self, the one in tranquility, always in charge. So now, up to this stage, we have seen those two extremes, the nafsul mutma'inna, which guides the individual towards the ruh and the ascension on the path of spirituality. And we have a nafs al-ammarati bis-su', which if not controlled, then it will take the person towards the hellfire and God's disobedience. In between those two nafs, there is another nafs. And which one is that one? Nafs al-lawwama, ahsantu. Allah says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. This nafs or the self that blames the human being when he deviates from that right path. So this nafs, what it tries to do is, as this individual goes to the left a little bit too much, starts following his desires, it tries to wake him up a little bit. It says, you know what, come back, hold on. You're taking off the track. You're going off. So come back. And let's go the other direction. This is what some people call the conscious. That's when some people, when they commit an action that is wrong, and this is in every human being, even those who don't believe in Allah, when they do something that's wrong, they would feel bad. They'd feel guilty. That guilt that overcomes them is what? Their nafsul lawama. And why is it there? It's because it's a safety mechanism, if we want to call it that way. It wants to bring the person back onto the sirat al-mustaqim, to the straight path. One of the best ways, or the first ways and methodologies of this nafsul lawama, bringing back this person, is by reminding him of tawbah, or by reminding him of seeking repentance for the action that he or she has done. The ayah we just read in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 53 and 54, God Almighty there says, say, O my servants, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O my servants who have done israf, extravagance on themselves. So here they did not forget themselves. They've done extravagance on themselves. What does that mean? It means they have disobeyed God a lot. A lot. They have committed many sins. Out of God's mercy in this ayah, He does not say, tell the disobedience, for example. He says, tell my servants. After all, even those who disobey Allah, Allah considers them as His servants. Tell my servants, or say, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Tell them what? لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not give up hope from God's mercy. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi, du'a Kumail. What does he start du'a Kumail with? What is the first sentence? Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. O Allah, I ask you by your mercy that has encompassed everything. Everything. Allah, we read the first ayah in the Holy Quran. You open the Quran, the very first verse of the Holy Quran is what? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah that encompasses, the mercy of Allah that encompasses everything in His creation. Everything. Including the one who wakes up in the morning associating somebody with Allah. Allah still encompasses him with mercy. This individual, even the one who rejects Allah altogether, that individual wakes up in the morning, he opens his fridge, he has breakfast. His breakfast is there. Then he goes to work, he earns his living. Then he comes and he eats his lunch, and he has his dinner, and he goes on doing his activities. Who is the one who's giving him all the sustenance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite him rejecting Allah wal-iyadu billah. But Allah has encompassed him through his rahmaniyyah, his mercy. But the rahim is a mercy that is limited for the believers on the day of judgment. But Allah's rahmaniyyah has encompassed everything. And this is stemming from an ayah in the Quran where Allah says, my mercy encompasses everything. So, no matter how much a person may have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the interpreters of the Quran, some of them, say that it includes even those who commit shirk wal-iyadu billah, even the mushrik, somebody who associates someone with Allah, even then Allah will forgive him if he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he repents. It is said one day a young man comes to the footsteps or the doorsteps of the masjid of the Prophet, and he weeps and weeps and weeps. One of the companions entered the mosque and he is crying. The Prophet tells him, "Why are you crying?" He says, "There is a young man who is weeping so hardly, so badly at the mosque doorstep that I am weeping for him." He said, "Well, tell him to come in." So he came in. He said, "Young man, what's your matter?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a great sin. A sin that I don't think God will forgive me for." He said, "What is greater, your sin or the skies?" He said, "No, my sin is greater than the skies." He said, "What's greater, your sin or the earth?" He said, "No, my sin is greater than the earth." He said, "What sin have you committed?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, for 7 years I have been stealing the kafan of people in their graves. Their kafan, I go steal it." Back, I mentioned a few nights ago, back in the old days, some people, unfortunately, the way they earn their living is the minute they bury somebody with a shroud, what they used to go at night is they used to go and steal the shroud and resell it. That's how they used to earn their living. So he said, "I steal shrouds for 7 years. Now, last night, I heard a young lady died. So I went to the cemetery at night and I stole the shroud. I took it. And then as I stole the shroud, I left. The devil, Iblis or Shaitan came to me and he said to me, 'Why did you leave? Don't you look at that girl? She's so beautiful. She's so young. And you're a young man. And she's dead. And no one is around.'" And he convinced me of committing the sin. So I went back and I committed the sin. And then I heard a voice saying to me, "Young man, you've exposed me after my burial and you've attacked me. May God also expose you." And so he says, "When I heard this, I was moved. And here I am, Ya Rasulullah." The Prophet said, "What have you done? What have you committed?" And this man then became angry and ran away. He ran. Didn't become angry, sorry. He became, you know, sad. He just became so embarrassed and ashamed of himself. He left. He left. He went to a nearby mountain. And he started worshipping Allah in that mountain. For 40 days, weeping and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, "My Lord, have mercy upon me." On the 40th day, he said, "Oh Lord, I've been seeking your forgiveness for 40 days now. The sun has burnt my skin. You either forgive me or you take my life away, Ya Allah. Finish me." Then an ayah was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that said, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ." And those who, when they commit a sin or they oppress themselves, they remember Allah. So they do istighfar, seek repentance, ask for God's forgiveness. So the angel Jibreel told the Prophet, "Ya Rasulullah, go tell this young man that Allah has forgiven him." So the Prophet came out of his mosque and he said, "Where is this young man? Anyone has seen him?" They told him, "Ya Rasulullah, we heard he went to a nearby mountain." So he went, He found him weeping and crying. And he found some animals surrounding him and also crying with him. And he told him, young man, raise your head. He raised his head. He saw that his face has been burnt from the sun, from his ibadah and his worship. He said, young man, God Almighty has forgiven you. So get up. You've been forgiven. And then he turned to his companions and said, companions, my companions, when you ask for repentance, make sure you ask it in a sincere manner, just like this young man. So then you will be forgiven as well. Allah says, do not give up from Allah's mercy. Allah forgives all the sins. Everything Allah will forgive. So a human being should never give up hope. Never. No matter what have we done in our lives, we should never think it's too late. I can't go back. I can't repent. No. As long as we are alive in this dunya, Allah has given us the chance. He's given us the chance. So brothers and sisters, in these holy days of Muharram, in these holy nights, as we are attending these majalis, let us stop a little bit and reflect. In the past so many years in my life, what have I committed of crimes and sins? What have I done? It is said one of the ulama, at a certain age, I can't remember, maybe 60 years old he was, when he was 60 or 70, I can't remember. He sat down and calculated how many days are, for example, in 60 years or 80 years or 90 years, whatever it is. He calculated how many days would that consist of. So he came with a number. You know, every year is 356 or 55, depending. So multiply that, for example, by 50 or 60. So you come up with that number. He came up, I think, with a number over 100,000. Over 100,000, I think. He said, if every day I committed one sin, it means if I die today, I'm going to die with this thousands of sins. When he realized this, it is said he fainted and died right at that moment, just from thinking about his sins. So the human being needs to reflect, brothers and sisters. Let us think a little bit. From today, let us realize what sins have we committed and pray to Allah to forgive us for these sins. And never give up hope from Allah's mercy. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. And He's adding confirmation. إِنَّ أَدَاتُ تَأْكِيدٍ means surely Allah forgives all sins. Everything. Never give up hope. And that is the first path or the first thing we need to do for the self-purification process. Is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, with ikhlas. That's one thing. Then, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and with his divine family, Ahlul Bayt alayhim wa sallam. Believe me, this is a great blessing from Allah upon us. And we need to ask ourselves, how much do we love those Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam? How much? Because the more we love them, the more we can obey them, and the more we can follow their path, and the more we can ascend in the ladder of spirituality. Last night I mentioned Salman, and I mentioned also Abu Dharr al-Ghafari. Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, the Prophet has a hadith that says there is no man who is more truthful than Abu Dharr al-Ghafari. So that is the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, his status was not that of Salman's. Salman was much higher. And that's why the hadith said, as we heard yesterday, that if Abu Dharr al-Ghafari were to realize what's in the heart of Salman from the knowledge that he has, he would have wanted to kill him, because he would not bear the knowledge that Salman has in his heart. So we have to follow that path. Where did those people learn? In the school of who? The school of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And that's where we have to ask ourselves, where do we stand? Let's take a look at some examples here. The first example is Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad called him. He said, "Ya ibn Sa'd, I want you to lead the army that's going to go and fight against Hussein ibn Ali, alayhi salam." Alayhi salam is for me, of course. He said, "I want you to lead that army." He said, "Ya ibn Ziyad, no, relieve me of that duty." He said, "Then if that is the case, few days ago we wrote to you, I gave you a letter that you are becoming the governor of Ray, which is today is Iran, Tehran. So he said, I gave you that letter, you're becoming the governor. So give me back the letter. Give us back the letter. Khalas." So then he looked at him and he said, "Okay, hold on a second. Let me think about it. He went home. He spent the whole night debating, asking himself, where should I go? Which path? Should I please Allah or should I please myself? Should I follow my nafsul mutma'inna, which is going to take me to my soul, my spirit, and the pleasure of Allah? Or should I keep my nafsul ammarati bisu in charge?" And interestingly, he started giving poetry. Now, how we know all this took place? Because there is poetry. He recited poetry. قال حسين بن عمي والحوادث جمة ولي في الري قرة عيني أأترك الري وفي الري منيتي أم أرجع مأثوما بقتل حسيني. He says, Hussein, you know, he is the grandson of Rasulullah. He knows who Imam Hussein is. Subhanallah. And we have so many occasions between Imam Hussein and I. There are so many times we encountered each other, we saw each other, we've met each other. So it's not like somebody who is foreign to me, whom I've never met, who I don't know who he is, and fine, they're sending me to kill someone whom I don't even know who he is. Fine. No, I know who this man is. I've seen him. We've met. Yet, I have my hopes in becoming the governor, in the governor of Ray. He says, should I leave Ray when it is really my goal in life? Or shall I come back? Or shall I come back with the sin of killing Hussein? Allahu Akbar. Yani, sometimes the human being, subhanallah, he's saying himself, killing Hussein is a sin. And what a great sin. Yet the human being sometimes follows the love of dunya. He loves dunya more than his akhirah. He loves dunya more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when a person forgets about himself. He forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see that example of this individual? Now how many of us are like Umar ibn Sa'd? Who when it comes to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, when it comes to the pleasure of Allah, we forget about the pleasure of Allah. And we insist upon it. Huh? You know, sometimes a person might commit a sin. Yes, shaitan whispers to the person and he commits a sin. But then he feels guilty and he repents. That one is okay, no problem. But when a person repeatedly commits a sin. Gambling, for example. A person continues to gamble. A few years ago, we heard of a story that was shocking. A person in one of the states in the United States, one of the states of America, a person who belonged to also a community, a Muslim, huh? He went to that famous city and gambled and lost everything he had, everything. He came back home, and because he had lost everything, he killed his entire family and then he killed himself. It was in the news, all over the news. When I was there, I went to that city a few years ago, they told me, this is the mother of his wife, the one that he killed. They showed me, this is the mother of his wife that he killed. But the human being doesn't realize, you know, doesn't stop. Same thing with drinking alcohol. A person doesn't realize. Thousands of deaths. You go to statistics, you know, here in this country, go to the website where they have the official statistics of those who die from drinking and driving. The deaths attributed to drinking and driving. Thousands. Every year. And this is only dying. Never mind those who cause problems, violence, other things. No, just leave all this aside. But still, people continue doing it. Insist upon it. Watching the haram, wal-iyadu billah. Performing the haram, wal-iyadu billah. Some of our women who decide not to wear their hijab as well. Constantly, repeatedly, every single day. They don't. They're insisting upon the sin. So how many of us are like Umar ibn Sa'd, where we prefer our desires over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We read about Umar ibn Sa'd and we say, no, this is one example in history. Sometimes Umar ibn Sa'd is within us. He's within us. When we favor the pleasure of Allah over, our pleasures over the pleasure of Allah. That is one example. Umar ibn Sa'd. Then you go a little bit higher. A little bit better. A man by the name of Harthama. This man, he said, I was with Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib fighting with him in the battle of Saffin. After Saffin, he said, Imam Ali came and stopped by Karbala. He stopped in Karbala. When he arrived in Karbala, I saw Imam Ali dismounting from his horse, and he sat down there shedding his tears. So I came to him, I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you crying here? He said, because in this place, many of my family and my children will be killed. Right here. So many bright moons and stars of Bani Hashim are going to be buried here. And their master is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said, my son Hussein will be killed here. Harthama said, I went home and I told my wife. My wife was a Shia. He says, I told my wife, this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen said. She said to me, Ya Harthama, Amir al-Mu'mineen never tells a lie. It is indeed the truth. He said, days went by until one day Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad ordered the army to go out to Karbala to fight against Imam Hussein. He said, Imam Hussein saw me. He said, Ya Harthama, do you remember the day when you were with my father in Karbala? He said, yes. He said, so why don't you join me? He said, no, Ya Aba Abdullah, I'm not with you, nor am I against you. I'm not going to fight you, nor am I going to fight with you. So go. Alas. Imam Hussein also left him and didn't worry about him. So here is another level. You know, this person didn't come to fight against Imam Hussein or kill him, but he said, I'm not going to fight with you either. Then Imam Hussein came across a third person, another person. He told him, why don't you join me? That third person said, Ya Ibn Rasulillah, I don't think I can fight with you. Because Imam Hussein made it clear to everybody that, you know what, this battle, I'm not going to win, huh? This battle, we're going to die in that battle. He made it very clear. So this man said, Ya Ibn Rasulillah, I cannot come and fight with you. However, I have a horse. This horse of mine is so fast, I never ran after an enemy and didn't catch him. So I'm willing to give you my horse, Ibn Rasulullah, here. So this person, not only did he not want to fight, but he went a little bit better. He said, you know, I'm willing to donate, let's say, having a donation. I'm giving you my horse, Ibn Rasulullah. Imam Hussein looked at him and he said, we don't need your horse. If you don't want to come and support us, we also don't need your horse. Keep it yourself. So that is the next level of the love of Ahlul Bayt. Okay, we had Umar ibn Sa'd there at the very bottom who came and killed Imam Hussein. And then you had a person who said, I'm not going to fight with you, nor am I going to fight against you. And then you got a person who said, I'm not going to fight with you, but I have a horse to give to you. That is another level. And then you have an individual like Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. This man who initially came to fight against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Came to fight against him. Imam Hussein, as he was heading to Kufa, Hurr comes out with about 1,000 men. And he tells them, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, you're not allowed to go to Kufa. I am sent here. And my task is to divert your path from going to Kufa. And we will talk a little bit more about this man when we talk tomorrow about the concept of akhlaq and self-purification, manners and self-purification. So inshallah, I'll talk a little bit more about more details about what happened between Hur and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Nonetheless, he goes to Karbala, and on the day of Ashura, after listening to the lectures and the speeches of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he turns to Umar ibn Sa'd, Hur. He goes to Umar ibn Sa'd and he says, Ya ibn Sa'd, amuqatilun anta hadha? Are you going to fight against this man? He said, yes. A battle that is so severe, in which heads will be severed and arms will be severed. He said, why don't you accept his proposal? He's proposing that if you don't want me here, let me go back. So why don't you accept his proposal? He said, if it were up to me, or if it was up to me, I would accept it. But you know your master, referring to Ubaidillah ibn Ziyad and Yazid ibn Muawiyah, they have given clear instructions. He either pays his allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah or he gets killed. Then he comes back. He's standing there, and next to him was a man by the name of Al-Muhajir ibn Aws. Muhajir looks at Hur and he sees him shaking. He says, Ya Hur, لو سألوني من أشجع شجعان الكوفة لما عدوتك. If they ask me who is the bravest man in Kufa, I would not even hesitate to say it is Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. And I'm seeing you trembling. Look at the nafsul lawama. Subhanallah, what does it make or do to a person like Hur, who was the bravest man in Kufa, according to the testimony of this companion of his? قال, he said, أخير نفسي بين الجنة والنار ولا أختار على الجنة شيئا. He said, I am contemplating and choosing between Jannah and between the hellfire. My nafs is deciding which way should it go. The same process that Umar ibn Sa'd went through. Umar ibn Sa'd went through the same process. He chose dunya. He chose the hellfire. Hur said, I will not choose anything over Jannah. And he kicked his horse. It is said he approached Imam Hussein alayhi salam with his hands over his head, saying, Ya ibn Rasulullah, ana sahibuka alladhi ja'ja'a bika at-tariq. I am your companion who brought you here. I am the one responsible for all this. But I am here now seeking repentance, tawbah. So do I have a chance? Imam Hussein looked at him and he said, Ya Hur, in tubt, tab Allahu alayk. If you are true and sincere in your tawbah, then Allah will forgive you. Allahu Akbar. Look at God's mercy. Never give up hope. Never give up hope from Allah's mercy. And then have the love of Ahlul Bayt in the heart. And you'll become successful like Hur. And when he died, he said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, he said, if that is the case, I want to be the first one to die before you. And indeed, he went and he got killed. Then Imam Hussein walked to him and he said, Bakhin bakhin laka ya hur. Anta al-hur kama sammatka ummuk. Hurun fi al-dunya wa sa'idun fi al-akhirah. Hur, congratulations to you. This Imam Hussein is saying to him, huh? You know, sometimes some men, when they fight in battles, they give them the Medal of Honor. This is the Medal of Honor that Imam Hussein gave to Hur. He told him, congratulations, Ya Hur. Indeed, you are a free man, free from your desires. You are free from your desires. In dunya, and you'll be happy in the Day of Judgment. Your mother was right in naming you Hur, a free man. He got killed. Then you have another example of Muslim ibn Awsajah. Muslim ibn Awsajah came with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This man fought before Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then when he was on the plains of Karbala, Imam Hussein walked to him with his cousin or his relative, Habib ibn Mazahir. Habib was a relative of Muslim. He came to him and Habib looked at Muslim. He said, Ya Muslim, I would have wished that you give me your will, wasiyyah, but I know I'll be following you soon. Muslim said, Ya Habib, I do have a wasiyyah to give you. I want to give you my will. He said, what is it, Ya Muslim? Tell me. قال حبيب حبيب الله الله بهذا الغريب قاتل حتى تقتل دونه. He said, Habib, take care of Imam Hussein عليه السلام. Make sure you fight until you die before him. Imam Hussein عليه السلام said, رحمك الله يا مسلم. May Allah bless you, يا مسلم. Look at the loyalty of this man. He said, may Allah bless you, ya Muslim. You fought before us to defend us when you are alive. And now when you are dying, you make us in your will. Your wasiyah is to take care of us. And he dies. That's another example. Another example is a man. A man who Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the eve of Ashura, when he tells his companions that, you know what? I let you all go. You're all free. You don't have to stay with me because tomorrow Bani Umayyah will not let me go. They will kill me. And they're not coming after you. They're coming after me. So you're all free to go. This man comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he says, Ya Abu Abdullah, how can we let you go? If they cut me into pieces and then they burn me, and they do this to me 70 times, I would still not leave you. So how is about it when it's only once that we die before you and then we meet your grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah? Look at this love. How many of us are of that level of love and obedience to Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Then there is another man by the name of Wahab. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was on his way to Karbala. He stops by a tent. He asks permission to enter into the tent. A lady comes out, an old lady. An old lady, he tells her, where is your son Wahab? Wahab, where is he? She said, my son is out, he's not here. He told her, tell your son that the man, this Wahab was a Christian man. Imam Hussein told her, tell your son that the man who Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam told your son to follow has stopped by. And he left. The woman was surprised. When Wahab came back, she said, son, a man visited us today. He looked as if he was Isa ibn Maryam. You know, when we saw him, it's as if he's Isa alayhi salam. And he told me something strange. He said, the man whom Isa ibn Maryam ordered you to follow has come by. He said, my mom, which direction did he go? She said this way. He said, Mother, last night in my dream, I saw Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And he told me, Ya Wahab, tomorrow a man will come, and when he asks you to join him, follow him. And Wahab had been married for 2 weeks only. 2 weeks. He just got married. He took his mother and his wife, and he followed Imam Hussein and met him in Karbala. This Wahab then came, he submitted to Imam Hussein and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and that you people are indeed the divine successors of the Prophet Muhammad. And he said, I am going to believe in you and I'm going to fight before you. It is said on the day of Ashura, when he was about to leave, his mother said, Son, go and fight before Imam Hussein, because I want to be proud of you in front of Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam on the day of judgment. As he was about to leave, his wife, who was a new bride, she held on to him. She said, Wahab, don't leave me alone. His mother said, Wahab, don't listen to her. Go and fight before Imam Hussein. Make me proud. Wahab went out. He fought until they cut off his fingers. Then he came back home. He came back to the tent. He said, Mother, are you pleased? She said, I'm not pleased until you die before Imam Hussein. At that moment, his wife came to him and she said, Wahab, take me with you to the battlefield. He looked at her and he said, Few moments ago you told me that you want me to stay, not to go. What changed your mind? قالت يا وهب لا تلمني إن واعية الحسين كسرت قلبي. She said, Wahab, don't blame me. The call of Imam Hussein عليه السلام broke my heart. He asked her, What did you hear him saying? She said, I heard him calling, أمام الناصر ينصرنا يا يا أمام معين يعيننا أمام طالب للجنة يطلبنا. Isn't there anyone who would come and help us, Ahlul Bayt? Isn't there anyone who would come and defend us? Isn't there anyone who would come and support us? She said, when I heard Imam Hussein calling for help, then I want to come and join you in helping him. So she came with him to the battlefield. Wahab turned to Imam Hussein and said, Ya Aba Abdullah, please tell my wife to go back. Imam Hussein alayhi salam turned to his wife and said, May Allah bless you. Go back to the tent. Until Wahab fought and he got killed and they severed his head and they threw it to the tent. His mother came out. She started wiping the blood and the sand on his face and saying, well done, my son. I am proud of you before Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam on the day of judgment. And then a young boy comes out by the name of Umm Wahab, from the son of Umm Wahab. He comes out and he approaches Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he says, Ya Aba Abdullah, give me the permission to die before you. Imam Hussein looks at him, he's so young. He said, Who are you? He said, My father just got killed in the battle. And my mother now sent me to die before you. So Imam Hussein gave him the permission. He took the sword and he was calling, Amiri Husseinun wa ni'mal amir, sururu fuad al-bashir al-nadhir, Fatimatun wa aliyun abawah, fahal ta'lamun lahu min nadhir. He says, Hussein is my master. Look at this young boy, in his early teens. He says, Hussein is my master, and what a great master he is. He is indeed the joy of the Prophet. His father and mother are Ali and Fatima. Do you know of anyone who is like him? And he fought until he got killed. When the companions have all been killed and died, it is said that there were two companions, the last two, they were brothers. They were left with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They came to Imam Hussein and they said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, give us the permission to go and fight before you. And they were shedding their tears and crying. Imam Hussein alayhi salam told them, Why are you crying so much? Why are you crying? Are you afraid of death? They said, No, Ya Ibn Rasulullah. Allah, but we are crying because we are the last two companions left with you. Once we die, then you won't have anyone to help you from the companions of from your companions. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, may Allah bless you, go. And shortly after, we will come and join you. These were the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, one after the other, including Jaun. Jaun, who was a servant of Abu Dharr al-Ghafari. And he was a black man from Ethiopia, yet he came to Imam Hussein, kissing the hands of Imam Hussein, asking him for permission to go and die. Imam Hussein alayhi salam told him, indeed, you will go and die before us. And Joan, you will have a bright, shining face on the Day of Judgment. You'll be an honorable man on the Day of Judgment. And the Turkish slave who came and asked Imam Hussein for the permission as he fell down on the plains of Karbala, Imam Hussein walked to him. He put his cheeks on his cheek, on the cheek of the slave. He opened his eyes and he said, من مثلي وخد ابن رسول الله على خدي. Who's like me and the cheek of the Prophet's grandson is touching my cheek. And he died on that state. When all the companions died, then the family of Bani Hashim started coming out. And among those who came out, were two sons of Zainab alayha salam, Aun and Muhammad. They were also young teenagers. It is said one was about 15 and the other one was about 13. They both came out and fought bravely before their uncle Imam Hussein alayhi salam until they both got killed. When the news reached their mother, look at Zainab and her love to Imam Hussein. It is said she did sujood to Allah, saying, Ya Allah, thank you. Ya Allah, thank you for giving me sons who died supporting my brother Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at the love Zainab had to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then these were the families, these were the tragedies. It is said at that last moment when Imam Hussein was left with no more family members, no more companions, he stood there calling, Ya Habib, Ya Zuhair, Ya Burair, Mali Ad'ukum Fala Tujibun. O Habib, O Zuhair, O Burair, respond to your master Imam Hussein, he is calling you. But how can you respond when your heads have been separated from your bodies? بالأمس كانوا معي واليوم قد رحلوا وخلفوا في سويد القلب نيران إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Brothers and sisters, we have hajat. We have a special haja before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some mu'mineen have requested special hajat. They have special needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have an ill person in the hospital who's been there for about a month now. We have another mu'min in Vancouver who's performing a surgery soon. For all those individuals and for all the hajat, let us raise our hands for the dua. And inshallah, by the barakah of the companions of Imam Hussein and the barakah of those individuals of Bani Hashim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our dua, inshaAllah. Raise your hands and everyone together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-mubtarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. Amma yujibu al-mubtarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su'. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر
الضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا يا الله كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله مع محمد وآله الأطهار يا الله اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله اللهم اقض حوائجنا جميعا يا الله اللهم شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله على الخصوص من أوصونا بالدعاء منهم ألبسهم لباس العافية يا الله رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحق ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين عاجلا يا الله وشفاعته آجلا يا الله اللهم اجعلنا من شيعة الحسين يا الله اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.